Hey guys, it's Brian Wampler from the Chasing Tone podcast and a little known company called Wampler Pedals. So today, Blake and I are back talking about several different things. This is going to be an awkward, weird, strange podcast if this is the first time you've listened to this, because even though we are technically a quote unquote gear podcast, we tend to talk about a lot of different things. So, for example, in this one, I talk about my very strange, weird tendencies. There's a lot of them. I can't even explain to you. Well, I do explain to you. You'll see it. I got some weird stuff going on. So, anyways, talk about that. Blake chimes in with some things that makes him weird. He's definitely awkward as well. Talk about small pedal boards. Very small pedal boards. We talk about, do we think at this stage in our life, could we only gig with one pedal? It's a good question. And you know I'm serious because I'm talking really low into the mic, so it seems like I am serious. So anyways, let's jump into that podcast with Blake Weiland right now. Grilled cheese.
Dude, I love grilled cheese. I haven't had a straight, like straight up regular grilled cheese in a long time. Mm-hmm. Like I pretty much always put meat on there also. And it's just,
that's not a grilled cheese anymore. That's a ham and cheese now.
Well, not if it's not ham.
Well, what kind of meat are you talking? I mean, you're not like bologna or turkey. You're still
bologna,
that's a turkey and
bologna
cheese.
Bologna doesn't enter my house. That's unacceptable. That's fake meat. That's like fake news, but it's fake meat.
No, there's meats. There's some meat in it.
Well, there's meat. Bits. There's meat-like
there's
substances.
Parts.
Yeah, in it. But no.
So, anyways, so that's not a grilled cheese, though. You're like, if it's turkey and cheese, then now you're having a grilled turkey and cheese, not a grilled cheese.
Well,
grilled cheese would imply it's only cheese and no other substance, maybe some butter or something. Well, arguably, that could be butter and cheese, though.
Well, No. I'll agree with you on the adding meat kind of makes it somewhat of a different thing. I would argue that it's a better experience, but I love meat. I pretty much have to eat it.
No,
I agree. It's not a meal unless there's meat involved, to me.
No, I understand. Yeah, I'm not disagreeing that it's not good with meat. I'm just simply putting my thesis out there that it's not grilled cheese if you put meat with the cheese on the sandwich.
I'm not going to argue with that, actually. I think I would say that that's a valid point. But in my house, when we say grilled cheese, it's just like implied that there's going to be meat on it as well.
Right. It's like saying, let's have hamburgers. You may actually mean a cheeseburger.
Exactly. Yeah. When we say burgers around here, I literally cannot remember the last time I had a burger with no cheese on it.
Like, but you know what's weird? Hey, why do we call it hamburger? Like, ham's made out of a pig or something, right?
Right.
But hamburger is
made out of a pig
or
something.
But hamburger is made out of a cow.
Well, I think correct me if I'm wrong. I thought it was like created in Hamburg or something. I don't know.
I don't know. I don't have the Oracle pulled up right now. Google.
As much as I love burgers, you'd think I would know a little more about their origin story, but I really don't. I eat a lot of burgers. I love burgers. I'm a member of a burger group.
Do you guys have a restaurant called Panera out there? Panera Bread?
Yeah, I think it's nationwide. Maybe even.
I thought it was.
Maybe even global. I'm not sure.
I didn't know if it's just more popular here in the Midwest or not. But they have the most fantastic grilled cheese sandwiches, and you get one of those with tomato soup, a big old bowl of it.
No, you don't.
Yeah, you do. And you dip one into the other.
No, you don't.
Usually the sandwich into the tomato soup, and it's like heaven. That's the way you got to.
I can't eat it.
That's the rules.
I know it is the rules. I know that that's the traditional method for eating grilled cheese, but I can't do the tomato soup. I just can't.
Why? What is wrong with you?
Well, I got a weird thing, and I'm not gonna say that I'm
yes,
right.
Yes, you do.
I'm not gonna say that I'm correct in this. I'm not gonna say that this is how everyone should be, because I disagree. Well, let me put this out there first. I'm of the theory that I would rather like everything. I don't like to not like things. I wish I liked every food that ever existed. and I do like most foods, but there's certain foods that, you know, people just have weird taste buds and they don't like it. For some reason, I love tomato products. I love salsa. I like ketchup. I like all of the great things that come from that fruit slash vegetable, whatever you want to call it. But just eating a tomato on something, a raw tomato or tomato soup, I can't do it. I've tried many times to do it. I thought maybe it would be something I'd grow out of. But nope, I can't get on board with the tomatoes. I'll bite into like something when I forgot to ask for no tomatoes and be like, oh, what's wrong with this? Oh, there's a tomato on there. So
that is well, I can understand that because I'm kind of the opposite of onions. Well, I don't know. So I like the flavor of onions.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like eating the onions. So like I will actually cook a burger with onions and then just remove all the onions because I don't like to eat the onion, but I like the taste. It's more of a I'm very like what do they call it? Where I don't like, there's certain textures I don't like. That's one of them.
So what do you, so now this is a weird thing. Do you like grilled onions? Can you eat a grilled onion or is it a raw onion? Like those are two very different textures. So that's why I ask.
If it's extremely soft and there's no crunch to it, I can a bit.
Okay.
Yes. But if there's a crunch to it, like I'm just not a big fan of like eating a hamburger and biting into a crunchy onion.
So by that same token, would you then go, you don't want the lettuce to be crunchy as well?
See, and that's what's weird. Lettuce I'm okay with. In fact, I've even put like corn chips, like Fritos, on my burger.
Heck yeah.
Now that's pretty crunchy, right?
Oh yeah.
That doesn't bother me for whatever reason. Now I don't make up these rules. I just live by them.
Right. I understand.
You know,
we all got our things.
And I've got a lot of weird things. Mm-hmm. Another little known fun fact about me. I absolutely hate wet paper. So for example, you take your straw wrapper off, you put it on the table, maybe you set your Coke on it and the condensation from your drink goes onto that straw wrapper.
Right.
I want to crawl out of my skin and hide. I hate it so bad.
Okay.
I do. I don't know why. I've always been that way. Another weird, quirky thing about me on the this guitar-based podcast is that I am terrified of pool drains if there's water in them. I also don't like shower drains either.
Wait, whoa. If there's water in the pool, you're terrified of the drain?
Won't go near it. Won't go near a drain. Mm-mm.
Is it because like you're going to
get... Or in a hot tub.
You're going to get sucked into it?
I don't know. I don't know if there was a fear of that as a young kid. There's really no logical reason behind it. Oddly enough, if the pool is drained, because, you know, me coming from a skateboard background as a kid, we would skate empty pools when we found them.
Right.
And didn't bother me then. Uh-uh.
Yeah, I feel like there's like a... Ooh, I know what it is.
Same thing with the bathtub. Like I said, I have no problem with the drain in a dry bathtub. I have a big problem with the drain in a bathtub with water.
Whoa, that's interesting.
I've got some weird things about me.
Let me dissect this a little bit. Like, no, that can't be it because that came out when you were a little bit older. I was trying to think of like the one thing that I could wrap my mind around in like pop culture that would like lead you to have this feeling. And I was thinking of maybe the scene in the TV miniseries of It, Stephen King's It. When the clown came out of the drain.
Never seen it.
Yeah, so that wasn't it. But you were older by then, so that wouldn't have mattered. I can't think of a reason.
So I have two brothers. One is like very much logically based, and one is a lot more like me, who's just kind of, I mean, he's smart, but he's more all over the place like I am.
So wait, what about Leslie?
Leslie is actually, let me be real honest about Leslie. Leslie was he's kind of like an adopted brother.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, you know, and I don't say that negatively because I have two kids that are adopted, so like I say that very lovingly. He's very special to me, but he doesn't, he doesn't exactly have some of the same quirks as I do. His quirks are a little bit different.
Okay, I follow you. Leslie's Leslie. Let's just put it that way, right?
Right. Yeah. He's his own entity. Okay. He's a little more like Joe Dirt than he is Brian Wampler.
Okay. Joe Dirt. Yes.
Joe Dirt. Yeah. Yes. Uh-huh. So anyways, I think I have a good feeling my brother Jim, probably when I was like a little baby boy, he probably said something to me, you know, like, better not go near that drain. It'll suck you right down.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I was probably like 2 years old, and ever since then I've been terrified, and I just don't remember it. That would be something that he would have done. So, same brothers, when I was little, he'd get mad and pick me up and hit my head against the ceiling. So, yeah. Not hard, but hard, you know, hard enough to make me cry for mom.
I just want to make you feel a little better about this. I'm reflecting on my childhood, and I remember, like, swimming in my grandma's pool and thinking, for no reason, I don't remember anything, like, just like you, I don't remember any reason, thinking, I should probably stay away from that thing. Like, like that looks like
just in case it does suck me down and I can't get away from it.
Right, like, I think now I'm really reflecting, I didn't realize that it was a drain and not, like, a suction device. Like, I thought it had, like, suction on it. It wasn't just a gravity-fed drain. I didn't really understand what it was.
Well, there is some suction on it, just because it's a drain, but I mean, you know.
But I thought it was like be like a vacuum that would like suck my hand down and I wouldn't be able to swim back up.
Right. I don't think it's like, you know, like one of those cyclones in the ocean or something that you can't get away from.
No, I know it's not that because I eventually got older and realized what it was and swam down and touched it. And it was like, oh, I'm still.
Like that literally makes me. It's like nails down a chalkboard. I can't imagine doing that.
So before we go too insane, I do want to talk about a weird thing that I have, a weird quirk that I have, and my wife has it too, coincidentally, and neither of us know why, and we actually know several people who are like this. At one time as a kid, or a couple times as a kid, for no reason whatsoever, you know, I bit a dry towel, like just chomped on it, like for no reason. And it's the most miserable experience without being painful. It's like terrible to bite a dry towel.
Really?
It's awful. Have you ever done it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't usually like go around doing it, but the idea, I mean, I've put a dry towel in my mouth. Like, let's say my mouth is bleeding from like having a tooth pulled or something. I've done that, you know, bite down on a towel to stop the bleeding.
Oh, yeah, that makes the experience even worse. Yeah, that's a good point. I've done that before.
So note to self, when Blake and I have lunch at NAMM or something, one, don't bite down on a dry towel, and two, don't get your straw wrapper wet.
12 minutes.
Get your respect here.
12 minutes in. Here we go. We're talking about, we've successfully avoided the word guitar, I think. Oh, no, you said guitar one time in reference to the fact that we weren't speaking about it.
Hey, it's my podcast. I can do what I want.
It's true. It's true.
Oh,
I do want to talk about something real quick.
Go ahead.
I'm going to try to complete this today. I already mentioned it to you briefly, but I have this.
Yeah, I was actually. This ties into where I was going to go with it, but you go ahead.
Okay. I have this little tiny itty bitty pedal board that I was going to use for like display stuff. It was made for me, I don't know, a year or so ago, by Salvage. I don't think they're building things anymore, but, anyway, point being is it's this little tiny itty bitty thing, and I've never...
Salvage isn't building things anymore?
No, I don't think they've been building for a while.
I did not know that.
Yeah. So I think, I don't know all the details, but, I don't think they're building stuff anymore. At least not currently. Not to say that it won't happen again at some point, but
gotcha. Did not know that.
Yeah, to my knowledge, I think they're on hiatus. Anyways, mm-hmm. I got this little display board and I haven't ended up using it for what I thought I was going to use it for. And so it's tiny. I don't know exactly how big it is. It's like it's smaller than like a sheet of paper.
Like so it's smaller than 8-inch by 11-inch.
Yes. The actual surface of the board.
Right.
And I'm currently trying to cram as much on there as possible.
So like one Strymon?
No.
A mini pedal?
No. I don't know if this is going to work. I think one of them is probably going to have to go. But I've got an overdrive, a fuzz, a delay, a reverb, and two boosts. I think one of these things might not fit, but I'm pretty sure I can get most of that on there. We'll see. But it's all mocked up right now. It's kind of a matter of cable spacing at this point. So
I have your situation solved. Okay. I can solve this right now.
Okay.
Digitech RP55.
No.
$50 from Guitar Center.
I don't want that.
I solved your problem. Now pay up.
I don't want that. I don't want that in my life.
I didn't ask if that's irrelevant whether you want that. That's what's going to work best for your needs.
No, it isn't.
There's fuzz, there's overdrive, there's distortion, there's delay, there's reverb, there's chorus, there's phaser. There's everything you could ever want in that box of tone.
Speaking of digital fuzz, you know what's a really cool digital fuzz? The Dr. Scientist BitQuest. It's so rad. It's so cool.
Heard of it, never played it.
Yeah, it's so much fun. I mean, you're not going to use that thing in any, like, classic rock setting. This is going to be straight up,
right?
You know, tearing somebody's head off. But it's so fun to play.
Well, your 8x11 pedal board actually is kind of very similar to the topic that I was going to talk to you about, which is, do you think at this stage in your life you could only gig with one pedal?
Absolutely not. Absolutely no way ever.
Even the RP55?
No, definitely not the RP55.
See, I could... There was a time in my life where, I mean, this was before the RP55, but it was something similar along the same lines. Whatever the previous version of the RP55 was in 1993, four or five or six or something like that. I was playing through a PV Solid State. What is the name of that? I forget. Supreme something or other. Supreme 180 or anyways, it was a solid state PV head. It was a GHS 412 cabinet. I don't know. Apparently they made cabinets for a point in time.
Really?
GHS 412 cabinet.
Like the string company, GHS.
The string company, yeah.
Okay.
I was playing through that, rocking like this little Digitech multi-effect unit of some sort. Like I said, it looked like the RP55, but it probably was not that since it was like 60 years ago.
Wow, you're old.
I'm not a mathematician, but 1994, 2017, yeah, about 60 years.
I'm no chemist, okay. But that sounds right.
Exactly. But that's what I would do, and that was one of the steps in my tone journey where I figured out that sounded absolutely horrible, especially because I was using the dirt from it through the clean channel. Didn't know any better. But keep in mind, this is before, in the area I'm in Indiana, this is before the internet. So there wasn't like a resource that I could really go to and, you know, find out tone related questions.
Right.
You know what I mean? I just knew that the pawn shop that I bought this from said, yeah, dude, it'll sound great.
It's got everything you need.
Exactly. You don't need anything else but this. It does everything.
I've heard that statement a lot. Like, you don't need anything else but this multi-effect unit. It literally does anything you can think of. And it's like, well, that's true, but that doesn't mean it does it well.
Yes. That's very true. And that's what I found out is especially, when you're a guy like me who is, and this is a bit of a different subject, but we're not all guitar players are not tone chasers.
I would say most of them are not.
Most of them. And like, we're like the guys that are chasing tone is a very small demographic of guitar players. So most people are just fine rocking their, 1995 Digitech, whatever it was, I was always trying stuff. I was broke, so I couldn't like buy stuff, but I was always trading with people and maybe borrowing stuff from other friends. And I was just chasing tone even back then. And I plugged this mug in and it was underwhelming, to put it nicely. I think I even tried using the effects loop on the amp and just using the effects, which was passable. It was passable for a gig, but definitely not optimal, So, I mean, back then there wasn't the availability of pedals like there is now. I mean, like now you can't go, 10 feet in any guitar store without seeing some fantastic guitar effects from a bazillion different companies.
Unless you go to my local guitar center, in which you'll only see cobwebs and sadness.
I'm sorry to hear that.
But there's some great ones. That's what's so weird. They're so variable.
That's the thing. That there are some definite holes in the wall that I've been to that I'm like, what? Why? Like, you look so defeated talking to the salesperson. You look so defeated. Why are you still here? And then other ones I go to, I'm like, wow, you guys are better than most quote-unquote boutique gear stores I've been to.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. Mine used to be so good. Like three, 4 years ago, it was it was really good. They had all the good stuff. They had Wampler. They had you know, Love Pedal. They had all this stuff. They had a bunch of local stuff. I was like, this is awesome. And it was close, and it was open till 9 o'clock. And then there was this turning point where they had Keeley. They had so much stuff. It was amazing and a great used inventory.
I could tell you why in a different conversation why that happened. I can't in front of thousands of people, but there's a reason why that happened.
I'm not surprised. I think we've talked about this before now that my brain's firing on most cylinders.
Yeah. But let's just say...
There were changes,
and some people that were involved in the company were heavily into high-end gear, and some of the others who weren't clashed... And some of the people who were into high-end gear took different jobs.
Yeah, they probably started their own store, and it's awesome.
Not everybody, but just some of the people that were in charge of, you know, some functions of... I'm being very vague, honestly. But there's reasons why that happened, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But, you know, at the end of the day, if you're running a business, I mean, and you're looking at numbers and you're trying to figure out how to get back in the black, which I'm sure everyone has heard about the news of Guitar Center and all their problems with debt and stuff. You're probably going to try different things and throw various forms of rice against walls and see what's sticky.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? I mean, you got to do what you got to do. If one thing's not working, then if you want to stay in business, you got to try something else. But unfortunately for me, it didn't end up panning out. But hey, it is what it is.
But you're in Portland. You got a lot of cool stores.
I'm totally not complaining. I got Old Town. I got Centaur Guitar. There's a new one going to open up for any Portlanders listening. Oh my gosh, I can't remember the name of it. It's a store that's in Seattle.
Seattle Music.
No, it's not.
I'm just throwing. I have never. There probably is a store called that. I just figured that would be.
I can't believe that it's failing me right now. I'll text you later and put it in the show notes because I can't remember what it is. But it's going to open pretty soon, and the Seattle store is amazing. So if the Portland one's anything like the Seattle store, then we're in for a treat for this mystery store that you guys don't get to hear about because I can't remember the name of it.
Thanks for that bit of information, Blake.
Oh, I guess I could just pull it up. Here, just pretend that I'm saying something interesting.
Oh, I got an idea. Here, let me tell you about some of the features of the Digitech RP50.
Thunder Road Guitars. It's Thunder Road Guitars. That's what it is.
But I was going to describe the features of the RP55.
Oh. Well, you can still do that if you want, but it's Thunder Road Guitars in Seattle and Portland.
4.5 stars on the review. Oh, man! This thing's rocking.
Like docking?
Like docking.
So anyway, to answer your previous question, no, no, I could not get with just one pedal. I couldn't do it. No way.
I could
for real.
Yeah.
What would it be?
Let me ask you this: would you allow me to design it?
So like, I guess if there's this one pedal, is it going to be like a 7 foot long Brian Wampler multi-FX pedal?
Hey, there was nothing in there about it had to be a certain size.
No, there wasn't. There was no... Okay. I'll give you that.
So it might be 3 foot by 4 foot, but I could do it.
You could. There was no stipulations put on that question.
Now, with current gear... I just saw a Chinese pedal in Tone Report. Let me see if I can't find it. Nux, N-U-X-E, something, Sear, something or other.
Hmm.
Let me find it. Effects, what's it called? It is called, it's NuxFX.com, N-U-X-E-F-X.com. I know this seems really weird, me pimping someone else's pedal, but I thought it was a cool little dealio. That's not under multi effects. Where's it at? Where's it at, man? Where's it at?
I don't know. I didn't see it.
Why don't I see it now? Hold on. Let me try this. There it is. Cerberus. Cerberus.
Oh, okay.
It was in the Tone Report this week, August 18th.
That makes sense. You know what that is?
It's what is?
What, the
Tone Report?
No. Cerberus. Or Cerberus. I don't know how to say it. Do you know what that is?
Well, I'm looking at it right now. It's like a multi-effects, yeah. With,
do you
with
know where that
digital analog.
That name comes from?
Oh, no.
It's the...
Dude, I barely graduated high school.
It's the multi-headed dog that guarded the underworld in, like, I can't remember if it's Greek or Roman mythology. But anyway.
Oh, I was. That was my second guess.
I thought you might be thinking that.
Yeah. Yeah. My first guess was some exotic type of beer or something. But apparently it's not that. So anyways, yeah, we got drive, distortion, modulation, delay, both analog and DSP-based stuff. Impulse response output if you want it, which as you've... No, I'm a big fan of banks. You can save some stuff on. Actually, a cool idea.
That sounds
very cool idea.
That does sound cool. I need to look into it.
Mm-hmm. And here's what I actually found this very funny. I don't think this is technically, well, it's probably legal, but it's probably breaking a trademark of some sort. I'm guessing. I'm no lawyer, so don't sue me. They show the JHS, I think it's the Charlie Brown, and the Bluesbreaker, not Bluesbreaker, the Morning Glory, mm-hmm. which is a Bluesbreaker type circuit.
Right.
And that's the picture on there when they're talking about the drive sections, right?
Oh, really?
And yeah, that's the pic. They're actually showing the JHS pedals there, saying that that's what they're modeled after.
I wonder if maybe there's a licensing deal or something?
I don't know, because it says the overdrive channel simply takes your guitar to the next level without adding mid frequencies or any unwanted characteristics inherent in the Tube Screamer style circuits, and provides a transparent overdrive sound. Any pedal can sound amazing when you create an effect chain, harmonizing the sound is critical for maximum efficiency. So in other words, if they were licensing it, they would be able to say, I would assume, based off the JHS Morning Glory.
Weird. And it weird.
And you know, so the overdrive, in quote, in parentheses, Bluesbreaker, pretty sure that's a Marshall trademark. Distortion, parentheses, Brown Anger.
Oh, yeah, that doesn't sound, no. I'm sure Josh is not happy about that, if he knows about it.
I don't know. Good question. I don't know. Maybe, you know.
There's not much you can do, unfortunately, being as it's Chinese, but that's still kind of dumb. If they don't have some sort of deal, that's really not cool.
It's kind of not cool in our community because, like, you know, we've talked about this before. We're all pretty not tight-knit group of people, you know? I mean, like, when we go to NAMM, like, we all hang out. The Keeley and Tor and, like, you know, we all kind of hang out except for Jack DeVille because he hates me. Anyways, so we all kind of hang out together. And just, you know, like Jamie from Earthquaker throws on this big party where we go bowling, you know, hang out together and, you know, just have fun, talk about stuff. And it's like all the guitar pedal community in one place. So it's a really cool deal.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's awesome.
If I'm guessing, if I had to guess right, I think it'd be awkward if Nux was there.
Yeah, if, I mean, if they're, I don't know. Like I said, I don't know the details behind all this, but if they didn't strike some sort of agreement, then that's pretty lame. That's.
I mean, I could understand saying, you know, because it's no different than saying this is a Tube Screamer style circuit. So I could understand saying it's a Morning Glory style circuit. I mean, even though that some people feel ethically that you shouldn't do that, it's still, if you take all emotion away, logically, it's the same exact thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you put it in those terms. But I would feel like it is wrong ethically if on our Tumnus page we had a picture of a Klon.
Yeah, it would seem like we know what it is, but like being like, hey, it's this thing. That's what it is. You know, like it would be like, okay. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. I don't know. Hey Nux, you might contemplate on working something out with Josh.
Or yeah, changing your phrasing or something.
Changing your pictures. I don't know. I'm no lawyer and I don't play one. So, but anyways, I guess that's a big thing to say. The product itself seems like a really cool idea and it might be a fun thing to play. I tried to actually find one to buy one. Because they're only like $299 or something.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, I think it's completely made in China. I think it's a Chinese company. In fact, I know it is because there's Chinese writing on here. well, I mean, you know, like if you hit support.
Yeah.
And, you know, where did I see it? Somewhere I saw it. No, maybe it's not. Oh, wait, that's USA branch. No, I'm right. Yeah. They're headquartered in China. Yeah.
Okay. Well, then they're definitely not going to change then.
Well, they do have a USA branch that's headquartered in California, cherubtechnology.com, I guess is their distributor. So I tried to find one myself. I couldn't find one on Amazon or anything. I'd like to try one just to see what it sounds like.
Yeah, I mean.
So, you know.
It does sound like a cool concept.
It does, especially for $299 with analog drives. Analog chorus and DSP chorus. Well, I'm saying analog modulations and DSP modulations, both. You know, I wonder.
Is there verbs and stuff on it too?
Let me go back here.
How much free press can we give this company that we question their ethics?
Yeah, delay and reverb on it both. Yeah. Well, I mean. I guess I'm not really questioning. I mean, ethics are different in America than they are in other places, you know? Like, I mean, there's countries where it's not that big of a deal if it's made in, I don't know, let me think, made in Belgium or whatever, you know? But here in America, I mean, it's kind of a big deal to a group of people if it's made in America.
Oh, right. I think that's becoming less and less of an issue, honestly.
I think so.
I think people are much less sensitive to it, and I think that has to do with overall quality of manufacturing from around the world. The quality of product has gone up significantly.
Right. Right.
You can get a made in Chinese pedal that is every bit as the build quality of something made over here, and you know sometimes better depending on who the builder is.
Right. No, you're absolutely right. I mean, you could take. There's good and bad manufacturers in China, just like there's good and bad manufacturers in America.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's some made in American products that suck on ice.
They're garbage.
And there's some that are completely amazing. In the same way with Chinese made stuff. But I mean, I think the argument is let's keep the money here and the economy in America. Hang on, I got to go to Walmart so I can buy my groceries and my other items I might need. Which those two ideologies don't mesh. I mean, if you want to keep things in America and you're really hardcore about it, and then you go to like Walmart to buy like bed sheets and stuff. I mean,
mm-hmm.
why not buy American made bed sheets?
Well, because they're expensive, Brian. I can't afford American-made bed sheets.
And in the same breath, I get, how come, Brian, you can't make your pedals $99 like insert pedal brand?
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, because if I do, you told me yourself that you wouldn't buy them because you want me to make things in America.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I want both.
I want both. I want it all. Give it to me.
And that's, you know, that's like saying I want a cheeseburger and a hamburger at the same time.
Well, I, actually, it's not actually, like that. No, it's not like that at all, because that's totally possible.
That is, it's not really like that. No, I want to drive a truck and a car at the same time. How about that?
Okay, that's more. That's probably. It doesn't make a lot of sense, but sure. I don't know.
As long as there's no drinks.
I don't know what we've gotten accomplished in this episode, but I'm gonna say not much.
I think this has been a fantastic episode. All right, so any final points to wrap up this with a big bow tie?
I think that stay out of the pool drains and don't bite on towels. It's the best I can think of.
And check out NuxFX.com.
Yes, do it.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. I really appreciate it. I hope you love it. I hope you like it. I hope you get something out of it. Maybe you're on your drive to work and it gives you a little bit of brightness in your morning or your evening or whenever you go to work. Maybe you're out for a run. I don't know why anybody would run whenever cars work just as well to get places. Kidding, by the way. And anyways, I hope you guys like this. If you don't, please let me know. If you do like it, please let me know. Just let me know in general. podcast@wamplerpedals.com. All right? I appreciate it. Stay tuned. Next week, we'll have another podcast. Until then, we'll see you.